I am Elle Penelope, author of epic fantasy and paranormal romance, and welcome to My Imaginary Friends, a look behind the scenes of an author mapping the worlds in my head and making them a reality. Hello, friends. Today is Sunday, September 20th, 2020, and this is episode 86 of My Imaginary Friends. I'm Leslie. First of all, I bit my tongue two nights ago pretty badly, so if I'm a little lispy today, if I have a slight speech impediment, that is why. Yeah, I was eating some terrible fast food, and I think a higher power was telling me, no, you don't really need to be eating that. And in the middle of munching on a very cardboardy chicken nugget, I bit my tongue so badly that it was bleeding. Maybe more information than you needed to know, but I'm still very tentative with it. And even I'm eating very, very slowly, because you know how when you bite your tongue once, you tend to bite it again in the same spot? And I'm very afraid of doing that. So this week's best thing is that it is the first weekend in I literally cannot remember how long that I have not had to work. I have not had to write. I have not had to catch up with any other of my business work. And I've just been able to not do anything and read and watch television. And so that's the best thing. Because, of course, I turned in Requiem of Silence on Tuesday when it was due. And I turned in Echoes of Ash and Tears, the novella, to the copy editor. So essentially, it's mostly done. There might be, you know, there'll be the review of the copy edits and maybe some other tweaks if I get any feedback from the beta readers who also have it. Now, ideally, you know, you get your book beta read before you copy edit it, but deadlines being what they are, I opted to have the beta readers read it at the same time, knowing that if they found anything big, well, I have a few days. I have, you know, about 5 days on the other end after I receive the copy edits back, that if there's something like truly egregious, I should be able to address it. Otherwise, it's kind of more for my peace of mind to say, okay, people found problems with this. Maybe I don't have time to address it, but at least I know they're there. Or, okay, I'm going to spend the next 5 days head down dealing with this issue and trying to fix it. So that's my how I approach these things when, you know, when the timeline is just too tight to do things the way that I normally do them. But I am done, for all intents and purposes. And I'm feeling that relaxation. I'm feeling, I'm not going to say at loose ends, because I don't. I feel good. I feel strong about the endings of those books, the end of the series, really, you know? My agent read the manuscript for Echoes, and she loved it. She was giving me really good feedback on it. So I do have at least one person's feedback on the novella, and it was good. So I'm feeling pretty good, like cautiously optimistic about it. There was a time at which I was really worried about the story, and then I was talking to my critique partner, and I was like, I'm really liking this. Like, I think it's coming together, you know? So I'm taking this whole week off from it, and I'm not going to touch it again until I get it back from the copy editor to try to just create some mental space in my brain so I can approach it with fresh eyes for that last read through, that last pass, and then turn it in to Audible. We announced the deal with Audible officially. my agent put it in Publishers Marketplace, which is it's a website. I don't think it's a physical publication, but it's sort of where publishing deals get announced. And so that's sort of like telling the world, even though I've been telling y'all about it for a long time. People were asking if I get to choose the narrator. And I have not gotten, generally, I mean, I guess some people do. And some people have those deals. But for me, no, I don't. When I, the audio rights for the novels in the Earthsinger Chronicles are held by Macmillan Audio. And basically they chose the narrator. What they did then was send me her reel and just say, is this okay with you? And I was like, oh yeah, it's good. I was happy that she was black. I was afraid they were going to not give me a black narrator, but fortunately they did. And I think that I checked the contract with Audible, but I think it's a similar thing where I don't get to choose, but I might get to say, okay, this is okay. Or if I have a huge problem with it, then hopefully they will work with me and we can resolve that. But that will be exciting to see how that comes together. So speaking of thinking of the future, I didn't want to take a long break after I finished because I didn't want to lose momentum and there's other things that I wanted to work on. But I know that I have just a much more leisurely pace going forward. So, of course, like, what day was this? Right after I turned in the book to one of the books to one of the editors, at this point, I don't remember which one it was, I got an email with another opportunity. So I'm going to be doing a pitch. And this is something that is one of my many works in progress, I guess you could say, things that I thought of and had done some level of work on over the past few years, but didn't have time to pursue further. And this particular story had been on my mind, not the heist story, which is top of mind, but I was thinking of something that I could do for self-publishing, because I still, you know, I'm hybrid and I still like to self-publish. And I think that it's a good way to diversify your income streams and also just diversify having to deal with people and the lack of control that you have with traditional publishing. So I find it's good to offset that with my own projects that I have complete control over. And that makes it much more palatable to work with TradPub, where I have very little control over very many things. So I had been thinking about this project, and then this opportunity came and it seemed like a good fit. So what I've been doing the past couple of days is just reviewing what I have. I've learned my lesson about trying to reuse old words. So this was an idea that came to me. I think it was like a dream or one of those gifts, I call them, where the whole story just sort of laid itself out. And I immediately wrote down an entire synopsis of this entire story. At one point I'd only written about 8,000 to 10,000 words on it. And so I'm not even going to look at those. I'm just going to archive them in Scrivener and start from scratch. So basically, I think I don't have all the details of how this pitch is going to work, but generally what you need when you're pitching something is a synopsis and the first few chapters. So since this was a gift story and it just kind of came to me in a vomit of ideas, I don't know if it's structurally sound. And so what I'm going to do moving forward, initially at a leisurely pace, and then if I get any word about a deadline, it will be at a less leisurely pace, is to review the synopsis that I wrote however many years ago that I still am really engaged by, and then make sure that it conforms to like a real reasonable story structure, refine a little bit, and then see about getting a couple of chapters written so that, I'm assuming that's what is needed. And then if I get other information as things go forward, I will shift gears. I was thinking of a different metaphor, but it wasn't coming to me immediately. Shift lanes, change lanes. It's a driving metaphor of some kind. Anyway, I'm excited about that because it seemed to come at the perfect time, because I'd already been thinking about this thing that was on the back burner, and then it seems to fit really great with this, you know, possible opportunity. And so I was like, oh, okay. Somehow things have aligned, and I like it when things align because it makes me feel like I'm on the right track. And that is basically my writing update. In other news, the Under a Winter Sky anthology, which is going to include Echoes of Ash and Tears, the novella, is officially on pre-order right now. And you can pre-order the ebook from the major retailers. You can also pre-order it directly from the author websites. So I'm selling it directly. Jeffy Kennedy and Melissa Marr are all selling it directly on their websites. You can also pre-order the print edition from each of us, from our individual stores. So if you are interested in a print edition of this anthology signed by me, then you can go to my website, elpenelope.com, and I have a store page that I'm very proud of. I had been selling direct for a while, and I'm using PayHip, the service PayHip, and I had been selling my self-published ebooks direct. And I hadn't been doing any print books, mostly because I didn't want to deal with sales tax. Like when I was in Virginia and I was running the literary magazine, I had to do sales tax for the print editions, and it was monthly and it was a huge pain. But I finally looked it up in Maryland, and we only have to send it in quarterly. And it's like, okay, I can deal with quarterly. I have to pay my estimated taxes quarterly anyway. So I will bite the bullet. And then of course I have to go to the mailbox. Although apparently you can have the mail people pick up the things at your door, and I haven't done that yet. I heard Jeffrey Kennedy talking about it, so that is something I will explore. Of course, I live like literally 5 minutes from my post office, so it's not that big of a deal. It's just putting on clothes and leaving the house and mailing things. But I'm excited about selling direct just because I think that it's kind of the way of the future. It was really interesting that when we started talking about it among the four of us in the anthology, that we all sell direct from our websites, which is so cool. We are going to do some signed book plates, I think, as like a giveaway because we're all in different locations. Kelly Armstrong is in Canada, so getting a book signed by all of us would be really difficult, but I think book plates are definitely possible with all four authors' signatures. Also, libraries, changing topics, changing lanes and gears. I was looking at my draft to digital dashboard. So for my self-published stuff, I sell direct on Amazon and I go through draft to digital for basically everywhere else except Google Play. I sell direct on Google Play also. I made that decision initially because it's just more efficient. I think they take like, what, 5%, 10%? I have no idea. They take a percentage. And it's worth it to me to not have to go and upload everything to every dashboard. Because you could easily go direct to Apple and Barnes & Noble and Kobo. I have one book that's direct to Kobo. And then I was like, you know what? It's too much. I know myself. I'm lazy. I'd rather pay the percentage for the convenience of not having to check a million stores and upload things. And if I make a change to a book, having to upload it onto everywhere every time, it's just a lot. So anyway, through Draft Digital, which is a distributor, which gets me to these other stores in a very convenient fashion, I also get into libraries. They have Overdrive there. There's Bibliotheca. There's a couple of different ways to get through libraries through Draft to Digital. And recently my library sales have been good because libraries have to pay more for the ebooks because they're allowing multiple people to read them. And so like, I was like, oh my gosh, these library sales are excellent. And that's a great extra source of income. So if you are self-published and if you are not getting into libraries, you should definitely consider it because it is great. So on the business side of authordom and self-publishing specifically, consider selling direct and definitely sell your ebooks to the libraries. And there's a different pricing structure. So like normally these books are $2.99, the self-published books that we're talking about. And I think I'm selling them to the libraries for like $6.99 or more. There was a formula that I heard someone talk about on some episode of Joanna Penn's podcast. I believe it was hers. And if I can find it, I will link to it. But essentially, you mark the book up because they're going to buy it once and then resell it to multiple, not resell it, but allow many people to read it. And so that sale has to kind of work a little bit harder. And that's why I'm selling less, you know, but the money is showing up and being just a nice additional source of income. Another thing on selling direct on your website, since I'm a website developer, I could have easily built an entire store on WordPress to do it. But I wanted to, when I initially set it up, I wasn't sure if anyone was going to buy from me. And so I didn't want to invest the time that it would take to spin up a whole e-commerce store on my site. So that's why I'm using payhip.com, which is a retail site. And then I'm using BookFunnel to actually deliver the ebooks so that people can easily sideload them onto their ebook readers. Basically, BookFunnel just sends you a link. There's a couple of different ways that they do it. And honestly, I don't love the way that they do it, but they're basically the only game in town for easy sideloading, and they take care of any support needs that the user might have. So it takes that completely out of my hands and I don't have to worry about it, which is lovely. And it's like a small yearly fee for that service. At the bare minimum, it's like $20 a year, which is very reasonable. So again, PayHip takes a small percentage of the sales. And then, of course, I have to pay either PayPal or the credit card processor. Whereas for a WooCommerce site, I would not have to pay the PayHip fee. And so in the future, if it becomes, you know, a significant portion of the income where the PayHip fee becomes too much, I'll definitely just build a WooCommerce store and do it myself. But I like I just wanted to keep it simple, test it out, make sure that it was working. And right now it's small, so it's not, I don't think it's worth doing WooCommerce, but if it grows in the future, then that's definitely a possibility. I'm lazy. I've said this before. And as much as I like tinkering with my website, I spend so much time on other people's websites that I tinker here and there. Like I tinkered to make the store page, which is basically an embedded version of PayHip. So you don't ever have to leave my site. PayHip gives you buttons and then a little sliding shopping cart, which is nice. So you can do the whole transaction without leaving my site. And that I like that too. It gives me the feeling of an integrated experience that I would have had to build and maintain without having to build or maintain it. So I think it's something that most authors can do. Integrating it with BookFunnel, there's a few steps, but it's not super complicated. And I definitely advise authors who self-publish to sell direct. Our featured podcast this week is First Cup of Coffee with Jeffy Kennedy. And here's a word from her.
Good morning, everyone. This is Jeffy Kennedy, and I'm here with my first cup of coffee every morning on Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. I'm an award-winning author of fantasy and romantic fantasy, and I chat with you about what it's like to be a career author. I honestly share my daily challenges and triumphs in getting my novels written. I give insights into the business side of being a writer and reflect on leading a fulfilling and creative life. Sit down and have a cup of coffee with me.
I did a Q&A for another author's website. And one of the questions was, why do you write as L Penelope? Why do you use the initial? There was another thing that made me think of that this week, and I don't know what it was. I did not start using the initial version of my name to try to hide my gender. That wasn't it at all. It really stems from something completely different. So I was a film major in college, and I had come up with a nom de plume, which was my name, but it was L. Penelope James. James is my maiden name. And my name is Leslie Penelope James. I think part of it was that Leslie is hard to spell for people, and I don't know what the other reasons were. But at the time, I had told everyone that this is going to be my name if I'm ever a famous writer or director. I'm going to use this name. And so my family and friends all knew about that. And so when my father passed away, I kind of became a little obsessed about like keeping things the same so that if he was somewhere able to watch me, that he would not be confused. He'd be able to find me easily. I was 25, 26. So it was just always there. So when I finally started writing like 10 years later and publishing specifically, I was like, oh, I'm going to keep that name because my dad knew it. And that's just going to be that connection. And initially, when I started doing all the self-publishing things, like building my website, I did build lpenelopejames.com. And when I first contracted with the freelance editor that I used, it was under that name, under that email address. And somewhere in that process, before Song of Blood and Stone came out, before I actually finished and got the cover for it, I was typing lpenelopejames.com. And I was like, this is really long. I don't want to have to type this all the time. I don't want to have to, like, it's just too long. So I cut off the James and it became L Penelope, and it felt right, you know? And I was like, it's still close enough. So if my dad's energy is around, you know, like he's not going to be confused, but it was just shorter to say and type and all of that. Oh, I know why I thought of this. It was because it was a video by an author on how to pronounce her name. And I'm going to have to go watch the video again before I say her name, Elodie Novodosky. I know Elodie, and I've never known how to pronounce her name, so it was much appreciated. And it was a video that she posted on Instagram. And in the comments, she was like, she briefly considered doing a small 5-minute podcast with authors on their names, either how to pronounce them or why they chose them. And so, yeah, that had gotten me thinking of it. And then I did this Q&A with the author about why I chose my name. In my mastermind yesterday, we were talking about death and how what we feel about death, because this is something I'll probably talk about more next week, but sad news. Tomorrow we have an appointment with the vet for our dog Sable, and we're going to have to euthanize her because she's taken a very bad turn this week. And so I was telling my mastermind people this, and my friends were just sharing just about
both of them have lost pets too. I haven't lost a pet as an adult. You know, I had lots of, we had cats growing up and we lost them in various ways. But as a grown-up person, this is going to be very difficult. And so we were just talking about death and energy and how we don't believe that, you know, people are ever really gone, their energy remains. And I absolutely believe that. You know, I do believe that sometimes I feel the presence of my father or my grandmother, people close to me that have passed. And I think that I was thinking about that too in terms of my name. But yeah, I'm not ready to talk about Sable right now. I think next week I will tell you the story of how we got her, because that was the first pet that my husband and I rescued early in our marriage. And it will definitely be hard tomorrow. I do not want to end on a sad note. The new edition of Galaxy's Edge magazine is out, and I have my regular column called Longhand in it. This issue's column is about fantasy maps. So if you're interested, check out galaxiesedge.com, and I think that you can read my column online or get your copy of the magazine. And one more thing, a book recommendation. Colleen Hoover is one of my favorite authors, and so much so that I put off reading her books until emergencies, when I have like book emergencies, when I've DNF'd like 5 books in a row and I need something that I know is going to be good, and I also have time to completely fall apart. So I read Heart Bones, which I think is her latest book. It's relatively short. It's amazing. And also, it relates to something I was talking about a couple of weeks ago with structure and dark moments. So I'm on the record as having said, you know, I'm not interested in a dark moment where the couple is apart for more than 3 weeks. There are always exceptions to every rule, and no spoilers here, but Heartbones is a romance. There is a dark moment, and the couple is apart for more than 3 weeks. And it was perfect. It worked perfectly. I was not upset at all. It had to happen that way. I was completely on board because Colleen Hoover is a master. And if a master can do anything that they want to do, they can break any rule and they can make it work. And she did. And I was sobbing. I think my husband came home and he was like, "What's wrong?" And I'm like, "It's this book." That happens a lot though. Like, he's worried about me and I'm like, "I'm sorry, I need to finish." But when your heart is destroyed by a master of the craft, it's different than when it's destroyed by someone that you trust less or that is less adept at destruction, if that makes any sense. So I heartily recommend Heart Bones and basically everything that Colleen Hoover writes. There are a number of them that I have not read yet because I'm keeping them. But one of the things I want to reread soon is Maybe Someday. When I read that book, I was like, this is a perfect book. This is a perfect book. And I would like to see if it holds up. I'm pretty sure it will, because any other time I've read her stuff, it has held up. Yeah, so if you have some tissues handy and you want a fabulous book, check out Heart Bones by Colleen Hoover. And that is it for me for this week. I will talk to you next week. And I hope that you have a safe, healthy, wonderful, happy week. For episode show notes and to sign up for the Footnotes newsletter, go to myimaginaryfriendsshow.com. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and watch the video episodes on YouTube. I would appreciate a rating or review to help support the show. And My Imaginary Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. For more fantastic podcasts, go to frolic.media/podcasts.